Bright Side. Welcome to another episode of New Level Studios Podcast. We are on 4/21, the recuperation day of our celebratory holiday of 4/20. That only comes once a year.
And only came once in 2013.
That's true. It only did, which is not quite a change of pace. But yeah, it's kind of exciting. We're doing a Sunday afternoon sort of matinee gig. We, of course, have our studio head, Melissa, who is currently in the Fapatorium, feverishly researching all sorts of information for the New Level Studios that is needed on an everyday basis. And
fapping at the same time.
Of course, fapping.
She's multi-talented like that.
That's why I'm marrying her, bro. I'm picking them right. Doing it righteous.
Yeah.
So I do have, of course, my nasty partner in crime, Philip Davis, to my left.
The one and only.
The one and... Well... One could only hope.
Well, there is another Phil Davis, but he's an MMA fighter.
That's funny, because there's another Sam Roush who's also an MMA fighter.
Really?
We should get both of them to fight and see
who wins. Oh, that would be fucking awesome.
That would be amazing.
Man.
Phil Davis versus Sam Roush in the octagon.
That would be pretty awesome.
And last but not least, never to forget, our amazing, who did such a fucking knock-up job at being an awesome guest last time he was on the podcast. We decided to have him back. He's also one of the brewers in the... I guess the C&P or the PNC brewery that's going on. Unless y'all have a name for it.
It's called CNC Music Factory.
CNC Music Factory. And y'all got the power. Because this beer's kicking. So, Colin. What's up, Colin?
Hey, man. There is... Well, there are actually two, but the other one's my dad. So, it doesn't really count. There's only one Colin Howitt.
He's not an MMA fighter. So.
He's not an MMA fighter. No,
he is half points.
We should just get Colin in the ring with... Phil Davis and Sam Roush.
A three-way rumble.
So some of the exciting shit that we're going to go ahead and deal with on this fine episode here is the actual brewing and tasting of a new beer that was just made and released by C&P Brewers. Is that where we're at here?
I guess that's where we don't really have a name for it yet. It works for me.
Okay, so out of the abortions...
ICP Brewers.
ICP Brewers, there you go.
No. Goddamn. So, I hate juggalos.
International...
I'm not racist. I don't have any tendencies towards hate, but goddamn juggalos.
Well, they're meant to be
hated. Juggalo. Yeah, no, they are. I mean,
Nobody likes them.
Nobody likes juggalos.
I'm pretty sure juggalos like each other.
No, they hate each other.
There's a lot of self-loathing. Yeah. So, I mean, literally nobody loves them.
You actually have to sign a petition when you become a juggalo to hate everybody, even people you don't know. You just hate the guts.
Man, think about that. It's hate sex all the time, so long as you're having sex. Doesn't that sound horrible and righteous at the same time?
Baby, we're going to start listening to more ICP.
I don't know. Maybe. Is that an ICP lyric?
No.
No, but if they all hate each other, they can only have sex with each other because goddamn nobody likes juggalos.
Nobody wants juggalos to breed either, so we need to get on top of that.
There you go. Free condoms for juggalos. That could be a platform for, a new presidential race right there.
Buy a fucking beer from ICP Breweries and get a free condom. There you go, man.
You need about 20 scheme. With the alcohol level of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This actually came out pretty good. This is, when we first measured it before we bottled it, it was looking at about like a 6.2 or a 6.4. And then...
Then we realized that Colin can't read a hydrometer.
That's fine.
So we measured it properly. And right now it's about a 5.5. It's a Mexican lime. It was actually brewed with jalapenos. We blanched them to blanch just to get them hot enough to cool them back down. And then put them in there. And you're supposed to leave the jalapenos in the keg while it's fermenting. We messed up on the recipe, but I actually think it came out better. We actually took the jalapenos out. They were only in there for maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and tops. Then we took them out. But it's good. The jalapeno doesn't really overpower the drink. Neither does the lime. It's kind of an even balance.
Yeah, no, you guys actually were able to get a nice, solid just beer flavor out of it with hints of both of those ingredients, of the lime and the jalapeno. And, I mean, altogether, dude, this shit's pretty fucking baller. So what's the name of it?
It's definitely drinkable.
What's the name of it? The Limey Fiery Asshole, or what's...
I don't know. We haven't actually came up with a name for it.
There is no better time to name something than on live on New Level Studio Podcast.
So this is the first batch that actually came out well.
Drinkable. Yeah.
We drank the last one. The last one was drinkable.
It wasn't drinkable, but we brewed it. We weren't going to waste it.
No, fuck no. Can't be doing that. No. Can't be wasting. Waste not one.
I don't know, man. You can name it whatever the hell you want, I guess. It'll be gone by tonight. It'll
be gone anyway. By tonight.
And the thing is, we're such excellent brewmasters that we have not taken any notes at all whatsoever to this point.
Why would you do that?
We'll probably never be able to make this exact same batch
again.
That's
perfect. It's always a surprise, dude. It's like, you know, that's how you guys could totally market your beer. It's always a surprise.
Oh, yes, and it doesn't give a hangover. Those are the two things.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't give a hangover.
We did discuss this the other day. So we have 7, 1-liter bottles?
Yeah, that's about right.
Well, I'm going to put this to the test. I have work tomorrow. So what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that all the beer is gone.
And then you're going to find out.
Exactly. Yeah. And if tomorrow morning I have a hangover, I'm no longer endorsing this beer. However, if tomorrow morning I wake up and I fucking piss excellence, well,
you're going to be piss excellence whether you're hungover or not, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to pump up your brand, bro. So if I wake up tomorrow and I piss excellence, then obviously the bottom line is that this will be the new official beer, New Level Studios.
It's guaranteed hangover free.
We will be endorsing the beer as well as the beer endorsing us. So this will be New Level Studios first. Synergetic endorsement, and that's where it's at.
The only issue is the brewing time. I mean, this is, when did we brew this?
That's March. I don't like seeing you that
three
often,
weeks so. Ago
no when we brewed this was March
5 weeks ago.
Yeah, at least about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, but didn't you get 2 kegs?
Yeah, but I never put the second keg together and actually started to go on a cycle so we would have beer and all that, because the issue behind that is we only have 8 bottles. So we can't have 2 kegs brewing and then 1 in the bottles, and then we have to drink all of it and empty the bottles to have more.
So why don't you get a second set of bottles?
Well, that would be the most logical thing to do, but there's no way in hell we're doing that. At ICP why? Breweries, we do things our own way.
Okay, I got you. Yes. So you guys have your own plan.
We do.
Your own plan of attack.
We do things our own way. So I don't know. It's good, man. It's just the hardest part is like after you brew it and just sitting there not touching it. You know, I mean, you have to check it, make sure the temperature's right when it's fermenting, and that's about it. Don't touch it. You can't open it, can't taste it, sample it. But it's worth the wait. I mean, in this case, this batch, I think is probably the best one that we've made.
It's pretty fucking good, dude. I honestly didn't expect anything that you guys would put together. I mean, I had a lot of faith in Colin, but I knew that the fact that you were involved would automatically just negate any faith I had in Colin. So I'm actually really surprised that this came out, I think, more than drinkable. And I don't know, man. It's just, you guys nailed it. And that's something that, you know, you really probably should start taking notes of some sort. But no, man, it's nailed. It's got a nice little lime, you know, sort of zest to it that's going on with the lime in it. I think it's a good amount of lime. It's not too much. But that jalapeno sort of flavor, it's not even really a flavor. It's just you kind of get a little bit of warmth and a touch of the actual taste of the pepper. But outside of that, there's no actual effects from it. It's not as though that my tongue is, you know, on fire or anything like that.
No. Well, I remember.
It's pretty solid.
I remember when a conversation we had about 2 months ago, and I was like, yeah, we're going to brew this jalapeno lime Mexican cerveza. And you're like, oh, that's going to be garbage. It's going to be so bad.
Well, I thought it was going to be garbage and so bad.
So it actually came out pretty good, though.
It did.
I'm impressed with it.
Fuck yeah. I'm impressed as shit.
So
shit.
We'll see how the rest of the podcast goes as we burn our way through these 7 1-liters of Mexican anal lime fire blast, whatever the fuck it is.
Mexican anal lime fire blast. Is that going to be the name of it?
Mexican anal. Really.
I think that's good. Mexican anal lime fire blast.
Yeah. Sounds like a winner to me.
How do you feel about that, Colin?
Man, I don't like putting anything in my ass. I'm going to tell you where that right now.
I think this is going to be more so a coming out.
Yeah. It's only fire when it comes out.
It's not fire when it goes in.
No.
Like you're like butt chugging.
The problem is that my asshole has calluses from all the Mexican food I eat.
You know what you got to do, bro? You got to eat more ice cream.
Going to be
you
no
gotta
fire
You got to wait for
blast.
Ice cream to catch up. Whenever you're going to take a shit, just take a big old jug of ice cream in the bathroom with you.
That's where it's at.
Waiting for it to catch up. Come on, ice cream.
I think I'm immune to capsaicin in my digestive tract now.
So. Well, that's definitely good to know.
So, you know, the anal fire blast part, I'm not so keen on, but we can call it just, you know.
So you name it. What do you want to call it? I don't know.
What do you want to call it?
We could call it Mexican citrus anal. I don't care.
Works for me, man. Whatever.
How about sour asshole?
Sour.
No, because it's not really sour.
Yeah, it's not encompassing enough.
No.
Yeah.
It's not encompassing.
Not really.
It is a little sour.
So like a zesty asshole?
Zesty asshole. Yeah, that would be a great...
Zesty, spicy asshole. Zesty, spicy asshole.
We should have a contest for all the people listening, and you can post some names of what we should call the beer.
We'll see,
on the website.
Yeah, no. You definitely should. I'd be all about that shit. Anybody out there listening. I mean, I know it's difficult to try to name it without tasting it.
Yeah.
But apparently with all the rest of the motherfuckers who have renamed sodas via Facebook, that turned out great, by the way. And I would the same sort. Oh, yeah.
I'm not real up on the local trends or I think it was like, with
it,
the kids.
I don't know if it was Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew, but one of them was like, yeah, you know, however many votes we get for whatever name you guys posted, that's what's going to be the winner. And the best thing was is that there were so many just horrific trolling things.
Yeah,
like,
I feel
just
like
dropping
that would be...
N-bombs all over the place and just like rape house and, you know, N-bomb fucking 5,000. And I think that was like the winning vote. It had like 1.5 million thumbs ups. And then they're like, yeah, you know what? We have to cancel this contest.
Like, there's way too many trolls on the internet.
Dude,
that's
exactly what happened. So, fucking Mountain Dew was going to be like Rape House Nigger Good, like, deluxe. And it was just like, dude, seriously, no one could do that. Like,
no.
As much as I love Mountain Dew, if I walked up, I would probably actually like it more if I just saw, like, the Rape House Nigger Deluxe just sitting there. And that's, like, that's the label that's on there. Like, a lightning bolt going through it. Like, wow, well, you guys fucked up. And I'm just going to reap the benefits of this. Just buy cases, stack that shit up.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
You would have to at that point if it did like a limited run with a fucking title like that on it. Oh my god!
Yeah, that's like the cocaine energy drink that came out in the early 2000s. I still have an unopened can of that at the house.
What? Wait, what was the fucking name of that energy drink that they pulled? I remember I was working in CVS.
It was called cocaine.
It was just called cocaine.
It was a small red can, like half the size of a Red Bull, and it just had cocaine on it. And then in small print, it says "does not include any cocaine." But that was the name of it, and then they like stopped making it, pulled it off the shelf. You can still find some on eBay for like $50 for a can as like a collector's item.
No, I remember there being some fucking they pulled.
Oh, Slow Your Roll is what you're talking about, right?
Was that it?
The one that's like cough syrup, alcohol,
purple drink.
Yeah, juice?
That's what it was.
I know that they were getting into a bunch of shit.
Oh, are you talking about Four Loko?
I know that was happening. So they were getting in a bunch of
shit
with
Four Loko.
Well, they
didn't pull Four Loko off the shelf. They just took out the Red Bull part of it that keeps you awake.
Yeah.
So now it's just a horribly bad tasting berry flavored malt beverage. They still get you fucked up, but you gotta suffer through drinking that shit.
It's like fucking Steel Reserve, just for fucking children. So like, if you want to get a whole group of school children just fucking loaded, just get a bunch of Four Loko. They'll love it. That's what I do for Melissa all the time.
Great.
On Friday night? Strawberry. Oh, yeah, dude. I just hook her up with like 8 strawberry Four Lokos, and you know, well,
you
know what happens after that.
You're saying on the air that you are into date rape.
Of my own fiance, yes.
Yes.
The sickest part is she's into it as well.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason why this works for me.
Oh,
is
okay.
Because she knows ahead of time that she will be just completely date raped. And
buy the ticket, take the ride at that point.
Dude, she bought 2 tickets. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Two tickets to paradise.
Well, that's what she thinks it is, you know, for me. Isn't that right, Melissa? Yes, there you go. My woman, always here to back me up.
Wow.
So, now we got the beer discussion out of the way. April of 2013, a lot of crazy shit happened actually this week, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's in honor of Hitler's birthday.
You think so?
Yeah. That's the thing that I never understand is why do potheads celebrate Hitler's birthday?
I don't know. Potheads celebrate 420 for completely different reasons, not related whatsoever to Hitler.
No, I think it's all Hitler's birthday.
It's completely Hitler's birthday.
Yeah.
It's not related. And also, so aside from...
Marley Fest, just all based on Hitler's birthday.
Yeah, well, like aside from the Boston Marathon blowing up, and then...
That shit was crazy.
In West Texas, the fertilizer plant that blew up also yesterday.
Yeah, but that wasn't like a terrorist attack or whatever.
Well,
that was like,
that wasn't a terrorist attack, but
it was just
the shooting at MIT.
Yeah,
that was related to it. And then also in Colorado at the 420 fest, somebody shot like 2 people.
Get the fuck out of here. Just yesterday?
Yeah, this was in Colorado at the 420 festival. They had in a park with like 10,000 people, like,
holy
somebody pulled
fuck
out a gun and just started shooting. Yeah, I just saw this on the news this morning. It just
violent
happened yesterday.
Fucking shit this week.
It's a yeah, man.
All how does week? Marijuana make you violent?
Well, that dude obviously was not stoned. There's no.
Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing. He was like, oh, well, he was a pothead. No. That was the one stoner at the fucking festival who wasn't high, and that's what happens when you don't smoke weed.
But you're going to a 420 fest in Colorado where they just decriminalized marijuana.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd get a contact high, right?
Well, absolutely.
You would like to think but you could have been wearing a gas mask.
The news article I was reading was they were saying, like, they were having a countdown to where it was exactly 4:20 in the afternoon, and everybody took a hit all at the same time and, like, blew the smoke in the air. And the reporter was saying that it was a visible cloud. There were so many people
that
you could see it in the air, and then that's when the shooting started. Which
really?
I don't know, man. I don't understand it. There's really not many details about it. I mean, I just read about the story. It just happened yesterday. So we'll see what happens as the week plays out.
I would honestly imagine there wouldn't be too many, like, really in-depth details about it, because what it would probably wind up being is the media being like, oh, look, they just legalized marijuana, and now people are getting fucking shot in, you know, in open public because of this.
Yeah, they're definitely going to try to spin the shit out of it to make it look bad. Yeah.
But it's fucking retarded, because it's definitely the one fucking, it's one asshole out of fucking 10,000 who all went to go celebrate, and he went there with a fucking gun. Like, come on, man. Yeah.
Well, now, even, and I was reading yesterday, too, what are they, Czechoslovakian or Chechnyan?
Chechnyan.
Chechnyan. The fucking parents of the two guys who are accused of the Boston Marathon, the parents are like, yeah, the FBI came to our house a lot, and the FBI was training the kids, and they were...
Training? Wait, what?
That's what the parents are saying, that the FBI was... in direct contact with them, and they took them to, like, some training camp and shit, and, like, set them up and all this other stuff.
Where the fuck are you getting your sources from? Where did you hear this shit?
Fucking Drudge Report.
Nah, it's the interview that they did with the parents on CNN, and also Fox News covered it, too. They relayed the story. Yeah, that's what the parents were saying. So, I don't know how...
They're Russian. You can't believe
Russian. I don't know how the news didn't fucking bury that shit, because that's some pretty damning evidence if it comes out to be true.
Yeah, it'll all disappear in a week. So, and I'll just be like, oh, yeah, they're fucking sickos. They're, you know, fucked up, and they went bombing shit. Don't get me wrong. They are sickos, and they are fucked up. But it's kind of strange that they're stating that, oh, yeah, the FBI was in constant contact with our boys and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other thing.
But,
well, that's what the parents were saying in their interview. I mean, who knows if it's true? Who knows if it's false? I'm just saying that's what I read. I mean, I don't believe it. I don't disbelieve it, but...
One thing that I did hear on CNN, well, that I was reading on their app that they have with all their news stories, was I found it actually kind of funny. I mean, I know it's obviously kind of fucked up, but it didn't have anything to do with the actual, you know, bombing itself, but more so, oh, yeah, where were these boys from and blah, 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 blah. And each country, like, the head of, like, you know, foreign relations from each country that they came from, because apparently they were not
from here.
They came from here. They came from, yeah, exactly. They gave them all the places, and they were just like, oh, no. They didn't grow up here. They were raised in America. This is directly America's fault, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And they moved through, like, 10 or 15 different, like, countries and states over in, you know, in Europe and in Russia, Asia, and they moved around, and every single one is just like, nope, we didn't do this, they are not from us, there's no association with us, we didn't do anything to do with it, nope, they were like 2 years old, they only stayed here for 1 week, we don't even know them, this is all America's fault. And, like, I found that kind of funny, just that, like, everyone was automatically like hot potato, and straight up foreign fucking counselors just like, nope, not gonna deal with this.
Yeah, I mean, nobody was gonna want to take responsibility for it.
Look at the position they're in. You know, if they say, oh, yeah, you know what, this might have been us.
Yeah,
what, the U.S. is going to come bomb people?
The U.S. is going to invade, just like 9/11. They're like, Afghanistan and Iraq must have done it, so let's go over there and fuck them up.
But,
and like 15 years later, still, you know, nothing, and we're still over there. That's the only thing that concerns me, is what kind of bullshit changes are going to happen now after this. And under the premise of, oh, we have to protect America from terrorists.
Oh, yeah. Well, the We Are Afraid Act is a completely different topic and not a very funny one.
No.
That being said, something has to be said for the plight of refugees. I know this sounds horribly, you know, Bono from U2, but...
I don't think they were refugees, though.
No, they were. They had refugee status. That's how they got here.
Really?
That's how they got their
That's
visas.
How they went through 15 different countries.
Yeah.
You know, most people... I don't know if people know about Chechnya or not, but it's a predominantly Muslim area of Russia, and Moscow has been basically waging war against ethnic Chechens for a long time.
No shit.
Oh, yeah. By, yeah, like, 10 plus years.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, but it's, like, they're all not, I mean, they're all different countries now. There's not, like, one Mother Russia anymore. So is Chechnya not Chechnya its own country?
No, Chechnya is part of Russia.
So it's still, like, Russia, but just, like, a state? Like, yeah. It's Texas inside the U.S.?
It's almost Chechnya exactly like Texas. The way Texans talk about being their own country and all that shit, it's exactly like that. Yeah, Grozny's a pretty horrible place.
Yeah, but even then, so like, you're refugees or whatever, I understand that. But what's the motivation? Like, what's the motivation to put a bomb in an American city? They're fucking
sociopaths.
You know, because you would think being refugees, you'd be pissed off at Russians.
No, I think that this was more of like an isolated incident. I think, I think that's exactly what it was. I think that they just kind of, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe they had emotional scars and no ties to anywhere because they were moved around so much and they were refugees. But I don't think that this has any, you know, sort of ultranationalist basis on it. I think that it's just two fucking brothers who may have just totally gone off the fucking deep end, man.
May have, or, you know, with the parents saying the FBI took them to all this training camp and shit.
Could go deeper.
Because there's no clear-cut motive. Like, why, what's the motivation behind putting a crockpot bomb in the middle of the fucking Boston Marathon at the end? Like, you know, what are you gonna accomplish from that? You know, you can't say, well, we blew up all these people and killed all these people because we hate Russia. Like, it doesn't add up, that's what
I'm saying. I don't think that it's that the motive will ever come out. I mean, if we ever do hear an actual motive that leaves his mouth rather than his lawyers or the media's or whatever. But,
well, they got him now, fucking the one that survived, that they threw grenades in the boat and fucking shot him up and shit. They've got him all doped up so he can't talk, which is even more shady. Because, you know, if you were like, oh, you know, say the government told you to go do this and, you know, or somebody from the FBI, the first thing I would do when they got me arrested would be like, yo, call up this dude from the FBI. He'll tell you it's all legit. He's the one that told me
I feel like if you're at that level where if this is in any way, shape, or form some sort of quote-unquote inside job, or if this was something that was perpetuated by, you know, government agencies in the U.S., that I feel like anyone working with them is not in a situation to say, oh, I got caught, let me go ahead and snitch on, you know, the FBI or fucking, you know, black ops shadow fucking shit. Well, like, no, dude, they're just going to kill you.
Nobody's going to claim responsibility for it, but why else would they keep him sedated where he, like, can't even talk, where he's just, like, completely knocked out in the hospital?
Not
like,
that I'm disagreeing with
him. Did he get blown up, right? Like, they threw grenades at him, or he threw grenades at somebody else?
The first guy, and there's pictures of it circulating on the internet, he got fucked up bad. Like,
that shit's grody.
Giant gaping hole in his chest, and, you know, he's full of bullet holes and shit. The second guy, though, from what I understand, his injuries were not life-threatening. I mean, he was shot, and he was bleeding, but they took him alive, and he was bleeding, and, like, he wasn't unconscious or dead or anything. They didn't revive him. You know, so they just took him to the hospital and, like, I guess got him all doped up. I mean,
I'm surprised they didn't just set the house on fire that he was in or the location on fire.
They set the boat on fire that he was hiding in.
Unfucking believable.
Yeah. Well, it was from flashbangs. They threw, like, a fuck ton of flashbangs.
We haven't learned anything.
No. Well,
at all.
The only thing is, the truth will come out. It's going to be like Vietnam and, like, the Bay of Pigs, you know. 30 years later, the government comes out.
This and has nothing to do with overthrowing governments at all, though.
No, I'm not saying it has anything to do with overthrowing
but governments. But now I do want bacon.
But 30 years later,
Cuban bacon.
The U.S. government comes out and says, yeah, the Bay of Pigs was completely false. We staged it so we could start the Vietnam War. Because the Freedom of Information Act says after a certain amount of time, you have to release these documents. Mm-hmm. It's well documented that the Bay of Pigs was set up so we could get into the Vietnam War. You can check this at the Library of Congress, Google anything you want. So the whole reasoning behind this line... The Bay of
Pigs was set up so we could get into the Vietnam War.
Not the...
The Bay of Pigs incident, because it was in Cuba.
The Bay of Pigs was an invasion of Cuba.
Correct.
To get into
Not the Gulf of Tonkin. Nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
The war in Vietnam, which is in the South Pacific, literally halfway around the world.
Because the Cubans are communist, and they were helping North Vietnam move into South Vietnam. Then so we're like, okay, the communists attacked us, now we have to help them out in the war. Dude, all you gotta do is fucking look in Google and research it, man.
Why didn't we get into Africa then when the Cubans were helping them out?
Right.
Or why didn't we get into
I don't know. I wasn't the fucking president at the time. I'm just telling you the facts. Well,
you should have been, obviously.
You should have been. I would have voted for you.
I would have voted twice for you.
Vote dirt in 2016.
Fuck yeah. Power to the people.
Melissa Bell, would you have voted dirt? No. Good call. She is my better half, and that just proved it.
So
that was a no, by the way.
It is what it is, man. Like, none of this shit. Nobody will ever fucking know. I mean, everybody knows the fucking government doesn't tell you all the truth all the time because
get out of here.
The people would fucking, you know, they'd be rioting in the streets and all this shit.
I'm from America. They tell me the truth all the time. I speak with them directly.
Directly. Yeah. Just like America. I speak to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Everything on Fox News and the internet is absolute 100% truth, right?
Right, I like from God's my imaginary mouth. Friend in the sky.
Absolutely.
I like to think of Jesus like with a mullet, where it's like, you know, business in the front, party in the back, at like the front row of like a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert with he's a singing tuxedo. Lead vocals. Oh yeah, he's definitely
from singing the crowd vocals. Though, because he is a man of the people.
Right. So yeah. He's actually singing to the shitty ass lead singer Lynyrd Skynyrd wearing his tuxedo t-shirt with the cut off arms on there. That's how I like to picture my Jesus.
Yeah,
he's party, but he's also classy.
Yeah, yeah,
America, fuck yeah,
America. So we're sitting around, hey, we are actually drinking local brewed in Texas, so I feel like this should be America beer
with Texas spring water.
With Texas, yeah, that's what's fucking making me want to just completely empty the contents of my stomach. It's the Texas spring water.
Could be, man.
I mean, water from the Hudson.
In the process, you can really use any water you want. I mean, you can use tap water, you can use purified water, but the spring water has natural minerals in it that mm-hmm. the yeast uses to assist in the fermentation process.
So distilled water would be...
I got something with natural minerals opposite. Right here.
Yeah, distilled water is no good.
Would be the opposite of what minerals. You need to do. I got yeah, you. Exactly. I got you.
You need spring water. You can use tap water, but I would...
So y'all use... So where did you... Would you just, like, go to fucking Walmart and get, like, a case of quote-unquote spring water?
No, you get the gallon jugs. It takes for a 2-gallon batch of beer, it takes about 2.25 gallons of spring water. Because you have to clean everything, sanitization, all that shit. So we usually get 3 gallons at a time, and then we'll maybe have, like, 1/2 gallon left over.
We drank a bunch of Lone Star beforehand,
yeah,
just to make sure we infuse it with the state beer.
Yeah, that's the most important process of Lone the brewing. Star,
why don't y'all go with some deep delicious, bro. Some Lone Shiner, bro. Cheaper.
Shiner's owned by Coors. They're Jesus freaks.
Yeah.
This shit tastes good. Fuck you.
Lone Star.
I will take Jesus's Shinery load actually, directly into my fucking gullet.
To be fair, it might be Budweiser. I don't know if it's Budweiser or Coors.
They're all fucking owned by the same. It's all a big fucking conglomeration. Actually, we were talking about this the other day. Rolling Rock is actually owned by Budweiser now, which yes. is a shame because I used to love Rolling Rock when I lived up in New York, directly from Latrobe, Pennsylvania. You know,
with the hand-painted bottle.
Yeah. And when I was in New York, it was real Rolling Rock, like, from Latrobe. Like, you could actually get... It was expensive. It was, like, $18 for a 12-pack, but it was good, fucking tasty beer.
Well, it's always been relatively inexpensive as far as beer is concerned, but...
Yeah, well, I'm not one of them fucking beer snobs that pays fucking $15 for a pint of beer. That's just fucking stupid, man.
I've never paid $15 for a pint of beer in my life. Ever? I have paid $10 for a pint of beer.
Seems mildly legit.
Yeah, but they have all, like, in Austin, they have all these, like, fancy bars with, like, 100 different beers from around the world or whatever. And
Ginger
you go
Man's
in.
A great place to go hang out. I like it.
No, where? Well, there's more than one bar that's the Ginger like that. Man.
Okay.
There's, like, multiple bars
that really Flying like Saucers. Well, Flying Saucers a chain, but the Draft House is really nice. It's a big old house and a parking lot, and people with old cars come through there.
I think I've been there before.
Nice. Yeah, it's on Medical Arts.
People just hanging out in the parking lot with lawn chairs and dogs and drinking beers and shit. Yeah, I've definitely been there before. It's been a couple of years. Legit. But I've been there.
There's also that co-op brewery over by the Triangle.
Oh, the Black Star?
Yeah.
I've been there. That's actually really great, but they're not open very often.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They close at like 6 or 7.
I used to go there a lot because we used to play at Kick Butt Coffee in the Triangle for the open mic nights.
Yeah,
we did. So I was over there. Is that the same one you're talking about?
Yep.
The one that's like right down the road?
Yep.
In the same shopping center?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They have fucking $15 beers in there.
Not that I recall. No, not bad.
First off, you don't have to tip them because they all get a living wage. Right. Second off, the food is fucking phenomenal.
Is it really? The food there.
Yeah, it's
I don't
really
go
good.
To bars to eat food, though.
That's the thing.
When you're drinking those expensive beers, like, it's $5 or $6 for a pint. But yeah, when you're drinking those expensive beers, you want to eat some cheese.
I don't get the fucking reasoning, but actually, mentioning that, I bought a $7 block of cheese today, directly imported from Ireland. It is fucking top-notch cheese, too.
It's green.
Yeah, it's, like, from Ireland. It's, like, green. It's pretty
Whelan,
solid.
Whelan aged cheddar.
Yeah. Oh, it's just cheddar.
Yeah, it's legit.
It's good cheddar, though.
Yeah, man. Because we were in the Hebe, and there was this old crusty lady, and she was like, "You boys want some cheese?" And we were like, "All right." So we tried it, and then she didn't even have to sell it. I was like, "Damn, this is good enough to buy." And she was like,
"You boys want some cheese?"
No, dude. Okay, so the lady he's talking about, yeah, she's old and crusty, but she's the wine and cheese lady.
Yeah.
So if you go in on Saturday and Sunday, she's got the wine and cheese samples.
She knows what's
up. Yeah. She does know what's up. She had the good shit. She busted it out, and I bought some of it. Yeah. And we bought this Parmesan Asiago bread that they make in the bakery there.
Sounds good.
That stuff is top-notch, too. We got it last week. Mm. It's like this cheddar Asiago Parmesan bread.
Just so
like,
we're clear, mixture. Neither Phil nor I are metrosexual homosexuals here.
No, I just like good food, man.
We just like good food.
I rarely so I know. Buy you guys the expensive... The
That's yeah. fine.
I rarely buy the expensive stuff, but every once in a while, you know, like, you get so like a real nice cheese and some bread, and then you slather some butter on
and
that,
a little
make
bit
a
of Merlot,
sandwich.
And you tuck your dick back between
there
your legs.
Go. That's the last step.
Would you
that's
fuck
the,
me?
I fuck me. It puts the lotion on its skin, or
and
else
we
it gets
go
the hose
right
again.
Back into the gutter. I was wondering when the New Level podcast would get back here. Didn't take long.
No, it sure didn't. So you guys are out buying wine and cheese and fucking tucking your sacks back on Thursday.
We actually
night.
Had to. Actually had to go to the Hebe to get a cooking sheet because we have like taquitos and corn dogs and shit. And we had was one of those aluminum foil cooking sheets.
That's
a one-time use.
That's all you need.
Well, it was a one-time use that we used for like 6 months.
There you go.
So there were like gigantic holes in it, and it was like bent all the
time. That is the Austin way about reusing, recycling.
It is. We're helping the environment.
Exactly.
And then it magically disappeared because we were going to make some corn dogs last night. And we were like, where the fuck is that pan? We couldn't find it. So we were like, fuck it. Just throw it right directly on the oven. Just throw them all in there. It doesn't matter.
Did you guys start an oven fire or everything was good?
Oh, no. We start an oven fire every weekend.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Every Sunday, pretty much, the entire house gets filled with smoke and we have to open all the windows.
Did I ever tell you the story about what happened at the old apartment? Like, I literally started, no bullshit, an oven fire where I opened up the oven and the entire oven was on fire and flames leapt out. Like, this was no bullshit.
Sounds like you're doing something right.
Dude. Seriously, this is every weekend.
Yeah,
this is every weekend.
Every Sunday. Because Sunday is steak day.
All I did is I had one pepperoni drop on a heating element with the oils from it. And all of a sudden, I go to open
one
it up
pepperoni?
And, like, there's one pepperoni.
That's all?
That's all. One pepperoni dropped off the pizza. And I look over, and there's, like, fucking smoke billowing out of, like, the surface units. And I was like, oh, fuck. And Melissa looks at me. She's like, what's going on here? Like, I don't know. Let me check it out. And I go to open it up. It's just fucking flames flash out. There's, like, a backdraft. Fucking 18 feet. I was like, baby, go to the fucking front door. Open it up. Get ready to run. I'm, like, ripping apart fucking underneath the shit looking for a goddamn fire extinguisher. I'm like, no, wait, hold on, I can make this better. So I fucking figure it's just like one piece of like a pizza that I was cooking that like fell onto the heating element
and was
on fire. So I get like a cup of water and fucking splash it in there. It's fucking all pepperoni oil. Just instantaneously fucking, no, it was totally an electric stove. Instantaneously the flames just leapt up everywhere because I just threw water on an oil fire. And at this point I was like, baby, just leave. Just get the fuck out of the house. This shit is not going to last.
Buy a new house.
Yeah, it's fine. Nothing. It doesn't matter. It's Crooked Hollow apartment. No one gives a fuck. And I actually had the fire extinguisher out and the fucking oven open. All the smoke detectors were going off. The smoke alarms were going off out in the hallway. Like, I was fucking burning this shit down. And I had the fucking fire extinguisher just ready and waiting. Just fucking, just an anthem. Just like, come on, just go out.
Why didn't you just close the oven door, dude?
Well, I didn't. And I let that happen for a little while. And I opened it up and the flame started dying. And I didn't have to use the fire extinguisher.
Okay, there we go.
I think the most important question of this entire story is, did you eat the pizza? Like, was it still good?
Of course. Tastes like shit.
No, man, that's flame that's broiled. Like
it's
a lot of money for that.
Pizza. No, dude, it wasn't even that it was burnt. It literally just tasted like shit. It was like the ultimate ultra super duper double top pepperoni fucking pizza
was
from
HEB. Was it
like
a Totino's party pizza? Oh, no, it was one of the HEB pizzas?
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, oh, this will be a good deal. It's Wednesday night. I got a fucking big ass pizza for like $6. I fucking get home, throw it in the oven, set the entire house on fire, pull it out finally, and then my reward is just a shitty fucking completely 5 billion milligrams of sodium fucking pizza. I mean, the shit was almost inedible. You and it wasn't even because it was burned. That was cooked like to the right amount, and it was just terrible.
5 billion milligrams. I think that's 5 kilograms.
You should have just went to Primus, bro.
That was the lesson that I learned. And every Wednesday night, I brought home a pizza from Primus, and me and Melissa had wine and pizza.
For all our listeners who are not familiar with Primus, if you're in North Austin, McNeil and Palmer in the HEB shopping center, go there, go to Primus. Anything on the menu is top-notch. Trust me, you will not regret the decision. And I know Sam can speak to it. Colin hasn't been there yet.
I have not.
You've never been there?
No.
He was supposed to come last week.
Dude,
remember when we met there Tuesday?
I fucking pizza just for the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it is top-notch.
I had to fucking deal with contractors, man. I'm the only one who speaks Spanish among my friends. I get called on. Yeah.
He had apparently built a roof for somebody's house. It was him and one other Mexican, built the roof in 2 hours. Covered a 50,000 square foot house in 2 hours with Colin and one Mexican.
They just re-roofed a Walmart in fucking 15 minutes.
I'm going to tell you.
Spitting shingles.
As soon as you put cowboy boots and a wicker hat on, you become a much faster worker, I tell you.
Is that what really?
That's all it takes.
Keep cowboy boots on the roof nonetheless.
Yes, right? Yes, definitely. Yeah. Worn in cowboy boots without the rubber on the bottom.
Of course, no, just slick. Just fucking just literally putting wax on the bottom of them. Holy shit, man. Dude, I've done roofing enough times. And when I say enough times, I mean like 4 or 5 to know that I don't ever want to do roofing again.
It's a little freaky.
Dude. I'm not a big fan of heights or getting on roofs or going to high
any
places.
Work.
God.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of work either. Yeah. I enjoy sitting behind my desk at work.
Work
and,
is a delicate word for Phil Davis.
It is. It's a dirty word. I don't like that word. I don't like it at all.
I do like speaking Spanish with contractors, though, man. You learn some good words.
Oh, sure you do. With contractors, you're definitely dealing with a top notch of society of the Spanish speaking community there.
Oh, yeah. Top notch, without question. Well, I mean, they are some hard fucking workers.
They are very eloquent.
They do. They say fuck your mother a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you say that in Spanish?
¿Cómo se dice?
¿Cómo se dice chinga tu madre?
Chinga tu madre. Okay, yeah. Chinga tu madre. All right, it's easy, because I was always used to, tu madre es mi puta.
Okay.
And that was what I used to rock all the time, because I used to get my ass beat by fucking people of a Spanish descent. And this is not a racist or generalization.
Is this when you were a fat boy living in New Jersey?
This is when I was a fat boy living in New Jersey, and I would get literally jumped at least once a week. And then I finally learned more of their language.
Builds character, bro.
It builds fucking my Spanish language skills. Because now if I hear a fucking cholo behind me talking about how he's going to fucking pull a knife and try to take my money in Spanish, I understand the deal. And I already have the knife out in front of him asking him for his money. So that's the trade-off now.
I can't tell you how many times I've ran into that exact situation.
Yep.
And I'm like, if I only knew Spanish, I wouldn't be getting stabbed in the back right now.
That's what it is. See imagine all the stabs that you would have avoided.
I know.
Just by learning a second language.
I need to shit, man.
Is that why your kidneys are all fucked up?
That's exactly what it is. All because I never learned Spanish.
All the butt chugging.
See, ladies and gentlemen, it's always helpful to learn English as a second language.
Well, I think that will wrap up the first half of our New Level Studios podcast. We all appreciate you hanging in there and trying to get through this. Hopefully, we will come back with a vengeance, some better topics. But in the interim, as always, is a musical interlude.
Stay tuned for the musical interlude. Enjoy. It's going to be a surprise this time.
It will. It will take to be a surprise.
You fucking
All right, we are back with another episode of New Level Studios Podcast.
Second half.
We have pre-gamed it up, and I think that everyone has to say at this point that this fucking beer is getting me drunk.
Yeah.
Getting my drink on.
You know what?
Heaven forbid that beer actually gets you drunk, sir.
Well,
the best part about drinking ICP brewed beer is you will not have a hangover.
We are not going to be ICP brewed beer.
ICP.
I'm just going to continually saying it until you get really, really pissed off.
I'm going to throw a microphone at you, sir.
I'm willing to.
International Colin and Phil beer.
Yeah, exactly. No, international.
No, sir. We are not ICP.
We could be LCP.
Interloper.
Local.
Phil and Colin beer. Colin
Actually,
and Phil beer.
Interloper, I kind of like.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting there with the
Interloper. So it's still not a bad beer.
So it's still ICP then, regardless.
No.
It's Interloper, International, the initials are still the same.
It is a product of Hard Times Fabrications.
Yeah, I actually like Hard Times Fabrications. We could stick with that. But I don't know if it works so well for a brewery.
Sounds gay to me.
It doesn't work for a brewery, no. It's my furniture company, man.
That's why it sounds gay.
I thought that was your computer building company.
It was my computer building company, too.
Is that also your illegal alien transport company?
No, because I don't fabricate anything there.
You don't fabricate the aliens?
Yeah,
that's Hard Times Transportation is my
company. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, so that makes sense. So this is... This is something weird and completely off topic, but in the bathroom here at New Level Studio, they have like the two sinks, you know, like the Jack and Jill, the double sink.
Yeah, we got dual sinks.
And like
you get to choose which sink you want to take a leak
into. Well, the thing is, the one sink is like really close to the toilet, and the other sink is like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 feet away. So like every time I go in there, I'm like, I want to wash my hands. Which one am I going to choose? And I always choose the one that's closest. Like... Every single time. Yeah, but I'd like to know what the odds are where somebody goes in there and they're like, you know what, just for once, I'm going to walk 2 extra feet and I'm going to try the second sink.
That's why I gave Melissa that sink.
Like, the sink may not even work. There might not even be water come out of it. I don't know. I've never tried it before.
Because that's why I gave Melissa that setup over there. Or better yet, she definitely picked it. But when I walked in there, I was like, all right, this is the one I'm going to use. Because if mine's the closest to the toilet,
less
I know
walking
that if
distance.
Well, it's not even that. I know that if I start having what I'm going to have after drinking this beer, which is just a flaming asshole Mexican blowout, I can reach over far enough to like wet the fucking toilet paper just a little bit to try to get some of that wet, fiery blowout magma out of there.
Yeah, well, some baby wipe status.
Kerosene is not water soluble, sir. You're just going to increase the burn. Is that your end goal?
Don't tell him these things.
Dude, Colin, of course it's the fucking end game. Are you an idiot? I mean, Colin, I like you and I respect you, but after that comment, I mean, of course I'm going to increase the burn. I'm going to pour water. I need a bidet.
On my rectum, sir. I tried to explain this to you. I do not feel the effects of capsaicin in my butt.
See, I need a bidet and just fucking, all I need is jalapeno fucking extract and
do
a bidet.
Do those things use
just
hot water or cold water?
A bidet?
Bidets? Yeah.
I feel like it's
warm.
Or do
they have both?
No, I feel like it's warm.
So is it only one knob and it's one temperature setting for the water?
I don't even feel like you get a knob. A lot of them are like laser sensor.
You just push a button?
You just put your rectum over it.
So what if the water like takes time to warm up and like you put your...
Good morning. Well, that's the only answer there.
You get a cold blast of frozen water in your anus.
Right to your anus. So, I can definitely speak for Melissa on this one, truthfully, for a change.
She wants a bidet as well?
Well,
she looks like she does.
I do. I know that they have the Japanese toilets.
I see that longing in her eyes.
They have.
That only a bidet can cure.
I see that longing in her. All right, anyway. We have a trip planned up to New York that's coming in June.
I'm actually going to be there for 4th of July.
Yeah, I'm going to miss that for sure.
I'll be there for 4th of July.
I don't want to be there when you're there.
For the
That's why
party.
I'm going to New York, to fucking just escape from you.
I'm going to be actually out of town next weekend.
Are you?
So yeah, you might have an enjoyable weekend. I'm going to my trail ride / family reunion, which is basically a bunch of rednecks.
Just banana spiders.
Yeah. Well,
banana
spiders,
banana spiders
too. Yeah. So you
That's
basically
why I don't go.
You show up and there's like probably
banana spiders.
5 or 6 of the homemade grills that my dad
just
makes out of
in
water
banana
heaters.
Spiders.
Well, they're covered in banana spiders, but on the inside.
You guys grilling banana spiders?
Yeah, exactly. In 5 minutes simultaneously. Yeah.
A little bit of spider hair never hurt anybody.
No, it didn't, man. Dude, it's extra protein. It's not going to kill you. You just suck it down, man.
Banana spiders have no hair. They are the creepiest spiders ever.
Just gobble it and slurp it. If you ever came down, if you ever came up to...
You don't suck... You've been down here long enough. Have you had crawfish yet?
I have not.
Oh man, you got to learn how to suck the heads.
Yeah, I've heard this from a previous guest, Ryan Wobbleberger, future Wizard Patton.
Yeah, well,
sucking he's all about heads.
Sucking the heads.
He likes to suck the heads.
He does suck the heads. He's all about it.
I'm not a big fan of having anything that says head in my mouth.
I don't know. Like,
well, it's like crawfish pate, man. It's the livers.
Only the only crawfish I ever eat is like when they make the crawfish etouffee with like the rice and the potatoes and the celery and all mixed together. Like, I'm not gonna take like a crawfish and just break the head off and start sucking it. Like,
well, you're doing it wrong, apparently. Okay, that's so what I've
first
heard.
First off, you gotta eat I'm the tail.
I'm not doing it.
You
yeah. Eat
the tail. No, you physically eat like the shell and the tail?
No, you pinch it. So you sit there.
So you squeeze the poop out of it.
Well, it's all the meat. I think the tail's what they get along with.
No, it's poop.
And then poop in there. Then you take the head and you squeeze it and you get the liver.
Really?
Yeah. That sounds terrible.
Yeah,
that liver's not really good for disgusting. You, like, especially if they're the cockroaches of the sea, similar to like lobsters and shit. First.
You boil them in beer.
Yeah, but still, bro.
I like the sound of that.
Their liver is filled with shit that could possibly kill you.
No, that's all that shit up north where they got the plastic in the lobsters and everything.
We definitely have plastic in lobsters.
Yeah, there's we have no the question we have the that. BP oil in our lobsters.
Yes, true, yeah, dude. True.
We do have the BP shrimp.
I would not eat anything from the Gulf.
No.
I'm dead serious.
Most of the seafood in Austin you get is directly from the Gulf. I mean, that's the closest place to where it comes from.
Okay, well, I see what you guys are saying, and yes, it's very funny. In all truth and honesty,
what's funny about eating tainted BP oil seafood?
Well, it's funny
because... This is not a laughing matter, sir.
Phil can't even hold a straight face. And thank you, Deluxe Daddy, for providing this entertainment for us. But, yeah, no, you're fine. That's why I didn't touch that. But anyway, go on, Colin.
You got to keep in mind that the Gulf is something like, you know, some exorbitant millions of gallons of salt water.
It's a very large body of water.
And there's millions of gallons of fucking oil in it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, on a scale, it's less than a percentage point.
I feel like that's bullshit. Yeah. I feel like that's bullshit.
I don't believe that.
I feel like it's. I don't feel like it's 100% or anything like that, but I feel like there's definitely like 6 or 7% of fucking crude oil that's leaked into it.
The oil spilled down in Belize
right.
in the 80s was much, much worse than
you
the
BP oil.
You can't
just make up countries to prove your fucking point.
The women in Belize, man, they're perfect.
Nobody
knows
where Belize is. Nobody's ever heard of Belize.
Okay. I've heard of Belize.
I know
it was
you're trying to bait me here, but yeah.
It was featured in an episode of Aqua Teen. I forget who was from Belize. Yeah, someone was from Belize.
Colin actually watched Aqua Teen. I tried to show him a couple episodes. He's not a fan of it. I don't understand
smoke
why.
Enough grass.
Yeah, no, that's
well,
probably
that
a key
could be
feature.
It.
Like,
yeah.
I'm really excited tonight. I know, no matter how drunk I get, I'm going to sit down with that fucking
thing tonight.
You.
I am looking for some love.
But, yes. Gunther.
One thing I did get him to watch, though, was God Bless America.
Yeah.
We actually watched that yesterday. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Like, because I've always liked it. I've seen it like 4 or 5 times. I think it's a great take.
Melissa and I saw it. We thought it was good.
Yeah. It
made me cry like a baby.
At the end, yeah. I was like, wow, bro.
Really?
I've never seen that reaction from anybody from seeing it.
No, I like martyrdom. I think martyrdom is a solid thing. I realize that it's got a bad rap right now because Islamic extremists.
Yeah. People always assume that's what it's for. But in this case, it was like, I don't feel the end of the movie was about them being martyrs. I feel like the end of the movie was them being Bonnie and Clyde and just saying, fuck you all, we're going out on top.
Okay, well,
that off of there.
So you can do that, but they were Dillinger and Patty Hearst.
Yeah.
That being said.
Well, kind of, yeah, because she fell in love. But he never kidnapped her. I mean, she went along willingly, and he didn't want to take her along with him the whole time. And then she eventually grew on him.
Yeah. More talking about their clothing styles than anything else.
And well, yeah.
Obviously, you know, it's a movie, so you got to pretend like the dude had a big dick. I mean,
he never touched her, though. See, that's what I don't get, because I feel like Bobcat definitely could have wrote a sex scene into that movie. And it wouldn't have hurt the movie at all.
I feel like it would have hurt it.
I don't think so.
Definitely, no, because it would have taken away from the relationship that they had.
More important, not only would it have taken away from the relationship, it would have taken away from the message that he was going for.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dude was all about the lack of objectification of women.
Yes.
And the cruelty of society that we inflict upon each other.
Yeah, but it's just so, maybe he wrote it purposefully that the chick was like constantly trying to fuck him. And, like, he never, like,
I think that was a character, you know, portion of the, you know, that character being young. I mean, she was a young teenage girl, and she was interested in that.
She was, like, in her mid-20s, the actress, but she plays a young teenage girl.
She plays, like, a 16 or a 17-year-old, and that's, I think that that was a lot more of the character development of it rather than a point in the plot of her trying to get with him all the time. That was my opinion.
Well, let's look at it from another way. This is a product of the society that the male character was trying to... not necessarily eradicate, but crusade against.
Right. Because the girl was doing what every other teenage girl does.
She was looking for validation in being a sexual creature. And you know what? Hey, everybody likes sex. And to a certain extent...
Melissa and I hate sex.
Yeah, that's a bunch of crap.
We have never had sex. No, we are waiting for marriage.
Yeah. Melissa's waiting for Jesus.
Melissa has, dude, she has never... I mean, she's been touched by his noodly appendage, but she has never... known anyone in the biblical sense.
You guys are definitely like a big fan of the prima noctis
concept.
First you have sex with Jesus before you have sex with your husband.
That's what I'm waiting on. I mean, dude, I have the tightest butthole for Jesus. Tightest butthole. Because I don't want him to be disappointed at all. Well, like, I want him to take me for all the tight butthole that I have. So
if there's one person...
So it's going the other way.
Yeah, just a second. So, prima noctis was about kings having sex with women.
Yeah, exactly.
Not about Jesus having sex with men.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure happened. I mean, he hung out with a bunch of
dudes. I don't know, man.
Maybe. Hung out with a bunch of hookers, too, bro. No, I mean,
he did hang out with a bunch of hookers, man. He was probably getting handies and blowjobs left and right,
bro. He's getting HJs on a fucking regular, bro.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Because the hookers loved him.
Well, yeah, because he's all for the poor people, and he heals them, and he's got the healing touch, dude. I mean,
yeah.
That's what I say when I go to bars, bro. Like, when I was single, I was like, nah, I got the healing touch. You get the herp nine? I don't give a fuck. I'm going to heal that shit.
That's what my semen is for.
There you go.
No, actually, you know what? It would be funnier if it was your magic dick.
Of course it is.
You got the magic stick.
I was just about to say, wasn't there a rapper, wasn't it 50 Cent, who fucking came up with that, and that shit is legit? He's got the magic fucking stick.
I think he should probably reinvent himself and call it half dollar.
Half dollar?
Half dollar, y'all.
I got about fucking half of 50.
Yeah, man. 50 cents, half dollar, same difference. He tried to actually become an actor and like be a legitimate actor, and he was in a couple of terribly bad movies.
No. I don't think he tried to be a legitimate actor. Tried getting some parts.
I didn't say he did. I said he tried.
What was the name of that movie with the two fucking white cops and 50 Cent was in it as a dealer and like some hooker was with him? Does anyone remember that? You remember that?
I don't know. I don't remember the name.
What was the name of that movie, baby?
Was that the one with Will Ferrell and Marky Mark?
No, that would have been too good.
But that because one was
Will
the
Ferrell
other
and the Funky Bunch was just delicious.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
You had abs mixed with comedy.
Yeah.
And I know, Colin, you being a homosexual and a metrosexual, that's definitely something that's
interesting. I took it back. I'm a Filipino lady boy, sir.
I can see that.
I feel like you're more of a bear, honestly.
Hey, man, you make a lot of tips on Bear Night. I'll tell you right now.
And this Phil, is right where the fucking podcast
this
goes
is right
back
where the podcast, yeah, right every, back in. How does it all tie back to fapping?
I don't know.
It
man.
All ties back to fapping.
I've never fapped to a bear.
I feel like you have.
I wish one day I could wrestle a bear, like if they get one that's deep clawed. You know,
no, with that like scene no claws. In fucking Super Troopers where he's fucking a bear.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got
right.
the suit on with the fake bear in front of him. He's fucking a whoa.
Now I would wrestle a real bear.
Phil, do you remember when I first moved down here and Polly and T and fucking and the rest of the girls? What was the other girl's name? Christine or some shit?
Oh,
remember
the
her?
Crazy one with the sleeve tattoo? The
super crazy one. Like, only wore yoga pants, was busted in the face. Like, I hope she's like, oh, God,
shit,
I hope she somehow hears this. So busted in the face. But anyway,
I forget
they
her
were
name.
All like, dude, you should go down to Le Bear.
Uh-huh.
I was like 60 pounds thinner, and they were like, yo, you should go down to fucking Le Bear at fucking, at amateur night. They were like, yo, you'll make bank. And then later that same month where I was recommended to do that, I had one of my legitimately homosexual friends at work go ahead and say, hey, why don't you work at About Time? You'll make tips. I don't know. Do I give off a gay vibe? Is that what's going on?
Absolutely.
I have a question here. No.
Phil's,
you know.
You don't give off a gay vibe, but I'll tell you right now. That the straight dudes at the gay bar, if you're not disgusted with gay dudes...
Oh, I'm definitely not disgusted with them. I mean, I'm not particularly spreading my butthole for them.
That doesn't mean you
want
to hang out with them all fucking day.
When I was busted broke, running my own business...
Here it comes.
I used to...
God. In all the ways.
I used to work...
You heard it here first, folks, on
the
New Level Studio.
On Bear Night. and you go down, you 10 bar without your shirt on, and I'm a hairy son of a bitch, and I'm a big guy.
Jesus I can Christ. Attest to that. I've seen Colin without his shirt on.
Would not tip that. Do not tip. Do not.
$8 to $2,000 a night in tips.
That's what I was told.
Damn, bro. That's out of control.
Yeah, that's how I support
myself. What is, like, do gay dudes really have that type of dough that they just throw around money like have,
dude, I don't know what it is, they but don't
have kids. Oh, they don't have kids. Well, that may be it and right there.
It could be it.
They're generally relatively successful.
Think so?
Oh, well, yeah.
I feel like there's some gay dudes that are broke as fuck and
blowing dudes for money, but beyond that.
They're not out at the boy cellar on bear night.
Exactly.
So you got to be, like, a rich gay dude to...
You have to be rich to drink in a bar in this town anyway.
Well, yeah, I can't dispute that. Well,
no. Yeah. I have to say no to that. Because even when I was broke and I was fucking drinking in New York, so, like, if you were to go out on the town in Manhattan for a night, I was broke. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I never did any of that shit.
Well, you do have a PhD in bad decision making.
That's completely besides the fact.
Don't mislead our audience.
Dr. Sam used to go out drinking, not getting paid from his practice due to malpractice insurance. I used to go out, and Colin, I would drop $350 to $450 a night if I were to go to Manhattan, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if I go downtown now, and if I were to go down to 6th Street or anything like that, I wouldn't drop anything near that. I would drop at maximum. If I wanted to have an absolutely baller-ass night where I didn't give a fuck about my tabs, I would not... There is no physical way that I would be able to drink over probably $200 on a tab without being completely blackout fucking, like, alcohol fucking poisoning drunk.
That, well...
You're not going to the high class bars where it's like the piano bar where it's, you know,
$8. I am going to the piano bar. No, I am absolutely going to the piano bar. I'm going to fucking Pete's Piano Bar.
That means
and still I could not drink fucking
Pete's Piano Bar. Pete's Dueling Pianos is not a high class joint.
It is the highest class joint.
I mean, if it's a tap beer and it costs more than $5, it's a high class joint to me. Like if you're a beer on tap is more than $5. If I go in and order a whiskey and Coke and you're like $12, I'm like, yep, I'm never coming back to this motherfucker again.
So there's that, which is, that is more of a classy. Well, I'm not even going to say classy. It's just more of a douchebag frat boy joint.
They don't let me into places like that. Like, I've never paid $12 for a whiskey and Coke.
They will push you right through the fucking, they will push you, dude.
Push you through the turnstiles and
that's exactly what it's like, bro. If they're like, yo, if you're walking up to a fucking joint and you have no intention of actually staying in this joint, but you don't know yet because that's how drunk you are, they will push you right in. They will be like, all right, all the drinks for you.
I've never really been, like, I don't know, man. I'm not a big fan of going downtown. I think maybe if I, like, live downtown where all the bars were in walking distance.
Still wouldn't want to do it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Even if I live
That's why I'm marrying this one right here.
They were, because we both like to go downtown.
We hate
either.
People. Hate people.
Pretty much.
We were at a big 420 crowds, show last shit. Night, dude. Yeah. And fucking, you know.
Oh, who did you
we
go see chilling. Last night?
We saw Umphrey's McGee.
Umphrey's McGee?
Dude, so awesome, by the way. Oh, it's like really? It's like the.
Are they an Austin band? Are they local?
No. They are the only way that I would be able to kind of properly describe this, and it's definitely not proper, is like the Dave Matthews Band version of Animals as Leaders. Like they are super proggy, but super not on that same prog metal.
What's the name of the band?
They're proggy. Umphrey's McGee.
So would you definitely recommend it to our listeners?
Without
to check
question.
Out?
They are less sci-fi metal than like Consider the Source, who I spoke about on a previous podcast.
Yeah, which is a great band in its own right.
Dude, amazing. But these guys are like on par with them, just kind of different genre, but proggy as fuck. So if you're into fucking prog shit, this is the jam
Sounds
band.
Sounds like
for
it
you.
Might be worth a listen.
Dude, it's way fucking worth a listen. Like even I was at the fucking show the other night.
Yeah. Well,
it was last night. And we were at the show, and I was just like, holy fuck. Like,
Melissa also said that you were inebriated from medicine the
entire
day.
No, see, so check it out. I was not, like, beyond inebriated. Like, I was just, like, I had a perfect fucking flow going. We were down at Stubbs, and...
Was it on the outside stage or
It
inside?
Was on the outside stage.
I like that one
we
so much
up.
Better.
Man.
I don't like the inside stage because it's too damn
Stubbs,
crowded.
Dude.
And there's
I'm not digging Stubbs.
Them big fucking pillars, like, right in the middle of the floor. On the inside stage,
I'm not digging Stubbs, man. I you know what? I don't know if I'm getting to an age or if I'm just fucking lazy. Well, I think it's the latter, honestly.
It's either that or...
I want chairs, bro. Like, I want to sit down in a fucking club and get, like, whiskey on the rocks and sit in my fucking chair and watch a band. So, like, I don't want to be grinding up.
The best way to see the stub shows is to find out what's playing and then go to the sidebar and sit next to the wall. Because you can hear the entire show.
I don't want to hear it. Like, I still want that live show fucking feel. Yeah, you still want to be able to see
the
band and stuff, though.
Yeah. What was the name of the club we went to and saw BT Bam and Animals as leaders? It was like something East.
It was
right?
Emo's.
Emo's East. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's a good spot, that shit but there's was no pretty chairs. Tight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a giant warehouse.
They had bleachers in the back.
Did they? Oh, that's right. They did.
It was clever, dude. Because Melissa and I saw a Clutch there fucking shortly thereafter.
Were there people sitting in the bleachers?
And there were, man.
Really?
There were.
Huh. That seems more legit than having a place like a bar with waitresses. Because waitresses have to fucking wade through all the crowd.
Well, that's why you can't have a crowd, dude. Like, I honestly would rather sit at a smaller fucking venue. Even seeing, like, metal bands that I love and shit. Like, I haven't pitted since, fuck, actually, what was the last band? We saw BT Bam. BT Bam opened up for Coheed at Stubbs, and this was, like, a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And I actually went crowd surfing to fucking Ants of the Sky, which was awesome sauce.
Those days are long gone for me, man.
Nah, dude. Crowd surfing is legit. Pitting is a different story. You still throwing out your shoulder, but it was actually hilarious because once fucking Ants of the Sky came on, I turned to Melissa, kind of tapped her. I was like, yo, you hang tight, I'm gonna go run up. And I just fucking plowed through the crowd, got up to about just about up to the front, and fucking I found two
somebody
like,
dropped
dudes.
You on your head.
No, it was fucking hilarious, dude. I found two bigger dudes who were standing in front of me, so I tapped them both on the shoulder and I'm like pointing up with my thumb. I'm like, yo, put me up. And both of them looked at me and they were like, no, I'm not gonna do it, because I was like almost their size. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me, bro? I was like, it's not that bad. I turn around and there are two smaller dudes and I tap them and I point fucking up and they fucking put me up, man. And I fucking crowd surf to Ants of the Sky right up there until fucking security grabbed me by my collar and fucking yanked me out and shit. But yo, that shit was tight. But I don't know, man. Stubbs is a venue. I mean, it's fun, I guess, maybe like if you're younger or if you're into that sort of shit. But honestly, man, I would much rather have a fucking joint where like it's a small, fucking tight, legit joint. I could sit down, I could order my fucking beers, I could check out the band. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm in my 30s earlier than my 30s. Like, I don't know what's up.
So, the thing is, with national touring acts, you know if you're going to bring in 1,500 to 2,000 people, the only two places you can play is really Stubbs and Emo's East. Like, that's the only two big venues here.
There's the backyard and there's Auditorium Shores. I don't even know if
there's open. Definitely the backyard.
How many people you think that holds?
Dude, that shit definitely holds 2K.
Yeah? I've never been there before.
Listen, I saw Skinner there.
I saw Counting Crows there.
Well, yeah. Callan, I'd probably...
I wouldn't tell anybody else that.
It was a decade ago.
I mean, the cat's out of the bag. All our listeners know now, but I wouldn't repeat that.
I saw Counting Crows there, but I saw Snoop Dogg at Stubbs.
Did you pay money for that?
No, I got in for free.
Okay, so that's completely... Well, not completely.
I don't like the venue, bro.
I got in for free at the backyard, too. But, my old roommate worked for Star, which was the ticket vendor then.
Yep.
Okay.
And Star Entertainment?
I saw She Wants Revenge at Stubbs for free, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't
Not familiar that. With them.
I like it. I'm sure you do. Like, sounds like trashy Joy Division to me.
I mean, Colin, what you're essentially doing right now is you're pouring the cement over your homosexuality.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I get that. But Snoop Dogg was a fun show. Now, it's Austin, so it's full of white people. It's not like...
Yeah, it's like Snoop Dogg and all that. I mean, it's like...
I saw Wu-Tang Clan there, too.
That's pretty tight.
Wu-Tang Clan still has more white suburbia fans than they do, like, legitimate ghetto.
That's bullshit. Think about New York, brother.
No.
Think
Even
about
still
fucking,
New York. Okay,
think
so
about
New-
Brooklyn. Think about fucking all that shit.
Yeah,
nah, man.
So
Wu-Tang's
7 million
definitely
people,
fucking pulling that
11
shit.
Million people live in New York. We'll say maybe 2 million of those people in New York, you know, are Wu-Tang Clan fans. Look at the rest of the entire country. Out of all the, you know...
What, there are no black people besides millions. New York? Are you fucking kidding me?
No, but there's a lot more suburban white kids that listen to it than...
There are a lot more suburban white
people
kids
in the
with
ghetto.
Money.
Yeah, exactly. People in the ghetto can't afford to buy that shit. Nowadays, you can just
they
go legally download it.
And fucking download that shit.
Yeah, but not back in the day when Wu-Tang came out, way, in the early to mid-90s.
I totally want to copyright that. Instead of fucking disposable laptops that we were talking about, faptops. That's all they are. Chromebooks or faptops?
I think we covered that on a podcast.
We have, but we were just talking about the disposable netbooks.
Well, technology has finally caught up to our plans. Faptops.
Yeah, that's where it's at. There you go. I was almost going to buy Melissa a faptop.
Really?
Just a Chromebook.
Just to keep in a faptorium?
Yep. Just be like, yo, you got your own faptop.
What is it? Just like a bargain basement Dell or like, you know, one of those bargain basement PCs?
I think it's like 4 gigs of RAM, a fucking 2.2 Duo, and fucking like an SSD hard drive. And
just enough to where you can get on the internet and fap away?
You can definitely get on the internet and fucking cruise what you want to do. You could write shit and fucking all that shit. I mean, if you're looking to do audio production, it's way outside of your fucking what you need to do. But
yeah.
It still is where it's at.
I don't know. I guess for a cheap computer, like if you want to buy a computer for your kids and it's you like don't care if it gets destroyed or whatever.
Bro, it's a fat
top. Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for $250 bucks, I would purchase a faptop.
For a brand new computer? It's
cheaper than a fucking iPad. Like, are you kidding me?
Really? iPads cost more than $250 bucks?
Yes. Wow. Because, dude, I bought my fucking iPad mini for, you know, at a discount for working through Apple, and still I could have gotten a Chromebook for the same price.
Do you think it's actually worth having one of those? Because, like, you already have a phone, you have a computer, like, what is the... like, how do you legitimize purchasing an iPad, like just so you can not take your phone out of the pocket and walk around with a bigger phone? No,
so what's,
like, what the hell?
What's
like,
good I don't about see that the reason shit, and it. I definitely want to kind of skid away from the subject as soon as possible, but what I can definitely state is this, is I had that argument in my head. I said I have a laptop, I have a desktop, and I have a phone. And all of these things essentially do the same thing, except for, is it more convenient to read on a tinier screen in bed, or is it more convenient to read on a bigger screen in bed, or around, or fucking super mobile? So what you wind up getting with a product like that, like a tablet, like a mid-sized to small-sized tablet, is ultimate portability in a much more convenient way to translate media. So
and
if
you can
I wanted
still play
to,
games and shit on
you
it,
you
right?
still absolutely play games on it, which I have a lot of fun doing. I have more fun playing games on a mid-sized tablet or small-sized tablet than I do on my phone. I mean, my phone is literally my phone. Well, I'm starting to fall back to that.
Where it's because like, the screen is bigger, but I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's just hard to justify spending that much money on something. It's like...
I did it, and I had buyer's remorse in the first 2 days, and then right afterwards, I started just being able to lay in bed, fucking chill out, like cruise fucking Sweetwater, cruise fucking CZ Sound, fucking all that shit, and just like, and read articles on CNN and shit like that, and I was like, dude, this is way more like holding a book. Which is just way more convenient, way more fucking easy on the eyes. It's just, you know, that's
Amazon,
the only reason I would say to go for it.
Like, Amazon makes their own one of that, but is it...
It's a Kindle.
The Amazon version, can you only, like, read books on it? Or
no,
is it actually
I'm pretty
a
sure now
they
have Wi-Fi, you can fucking... you can go for the gold.
It just runs off
shit.
The Google Marketplace instead of the fucking Apple Marketplace.
I would assume so, but
Amazon
I...
Amazon Marketplace.
It's the Amazon one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, see, they have their own?
I would assume so. I mean, if they're
modified.
Doing a fucking proprietary tablet,
yeah,
I
would still
assume.
Has to run off Android.
I
shit.
Think it probably runs off Android. That being said, I really like my Kindle.
Oh, you have one?
I really like my old school ebook with electronic ink.
So the one you have is not like you can't play games or anything on it. It's just a book reader.
No, but it's a book reader. But I can carry my entire library around with me.
It's easy. It's nice.
It's
like
good
that.
If you're on like a plane flight or something like that. But I can't legitimize seeing like sitting at the house reading that when you could use a computer.
What I can
or the
say
TV.
Is this: so I tend to travel a lot. I travel up to New York every 2 months, something like that. And this time, you know, I bought my MacBook Pro and I had that and I was bringing that up to New York, using it on the plane, doing all that shit. And like, you know, it's fun and all and it's good. Like I was playing StarCraft on the plane. Shit was tight. This last trip that I made, I fucking didn't want to do that. It's still a lot to carry. It's still fucking heavy to carry. So I brought my fucking iPad mini.
How long does the batteries last on that day?
Yo, like forever. That's actually what I was just about to bring up, man. That's the one thing that I can say from actual usage is that shit lasts forever. Like, I cannot charge my fucking iPad for a number of days and still be totally legit with it.
That sounds completely legit, but I mean, it's still like a first world problem type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you have, you know, like you don't really fucking need it. I guess if you travel a lot, it'd be nice, but you could always just buy a fucking $6 paperback from the airport store. and read that shit while you're on the plane.
Or you could play fucking 15 or 20 games, like, of your choice on there.
I don't know, man. It is what it is. I guess it's personal preference. I just don't.
It's just, you know what? If like, you want to surf the internet, why do you need a keyboard to surf the internet? That's essentially what it comes down to. If you just, if you're down to fucking surf the web, send your emails, fucking play your apps, do your shit like that, what's the purpose of doing that over having a keyboard and doing that? Because the iPad mini screen is pretty much similar to the smallest version of the MacBook Air. So it's like, do you need a keyboard or no? Because they will essentially do the same thing.
Well, it's like a phone. It has the on-screen keyboard.
It does.
I've seen, actually, on This Is Why I'm Broke, or This Is Why You're Broke, that is. They have, it's like a little laser light thing, and you put it in front of your mobile device, and it, like, projects a keyboard onto your table.
I've seen that as well.
And then you, like, touch the buttons, and it's an actual real keyboard. And it touches
Yeah, because there's a camera involved in it. Yeah. I've seen it, but honestly, that's pretty impressive. That's all I could say. The reason for this whole mid-sized tablet thing is just it is the fucking the bridge between a phone and a laptop. And you could essentially go either way. If you want to do more, you get your laptop. If you want to do less, you get your phone. If you want to go in the middle, what happens? I think that it will be phased out at some point as phones begin to get a little bit larger. Or it could go completely the other way and laptops of that base model sort of laptop feel fade out and your phones get smaller.
Well, because cell phones have already went through the be as small as you can generation.
Dude, like, it could come back. Dude,
it brings to mind the Saturday Night Live skit with Will Ferrell, and he has like that little cell phone that's like as big as your thumb, and he opens it up. And
but by the same token, look at the fucking Google Glass shit. Like, well, that's starting to bridge the gap,
that's
man.
Some next level shit, though.
It is.
Why do you want to annotate your entire life? Now, to be fair, I'm more than a little bit of a Luddite. It took me forever to get a smartphone. That being said, now that I have it, I love it.
I don't have a smartphone now.
But
you did.
The Google Glass is just too much.
It's a bold fucking step, man.
Now, I think it's probably important as far as technology is concerned. Of course. I do not want to get involved with
You know what? If you go back 150 years, people were probably saying the exact same thing about the fucking steam engine or the first car. Oh, that's too much. We don't need that. I mean, progress, in order to make progress, you have to have these crazy leaps and bounds, you know?
I thoroughly agree. That being said, I will refuse to have an annotated life.
Well, that's fine, man. Like, I don't have Twitter. I don't often post on Facebook. I don't do shit where it really does, you know, like a step-by-step. Like, the biggest joke when Twitter first came out, for me at least, and it still rings free, is just that, what am I gonna twat? What am I gonna say? Everything that I would do on Twitter, or Twitter in this case, the only thing that I would twat would be, hey, listen, I'm taking a poop right now. The poop feels like this, and this is how it is sliding out of my ass. Oh, look, it flushed. I beat the game.
You've already repeated a Penny Arcade joke.
But, I mean, it's...
I was actually unaware of that. It's good to know.
Yeah, I'm a Twitter shitter.
Yeah. But, like, that in my mind is the only thing that I would ever want to do. It's, you know, the idea behind it is Facebook with only status updates. But for all intents and purposes, why?
That's culture. It's not targeted to us. Mm-mm. It's targeted to the generation after us that grew up with high-speed internet, that grew up with fucking cell phones, that grew up with, you know, MP3 players and shit. We never grew up with this stuff, so it's not like, oh, well, we have to have it. It's a part of life. It's like it's some new shit, but I remember back in the old days, I never needed a cell phone. I never needed, you know, internet, none of that shit, man.
That being said, when we were growing up, we knew where our friends were.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you went to their house and knocked on the door and be like, yo, you want to come outside and play?
Rode my bike up on a Saturday morning and was like, yo, dude, let's go fucking ride around. Let's go do this, that, and the other thing.
Phil and I are an exception because we have a mob of feral kids right outside our house.
Yeah, them little bastards won't go away.
When you go anywhere anymore, do you see mobs of feral kids? You do not see mobs of feral
kids. Not really. Kids don't go outside and, like, play anymore. Like, kids in, like, when I was a kid, shit, man, there was a school down the road from my house. I'd be there every single day in the summer. Be playing baseball, you know, playing soccer, whatever, man, setting shit on fire. It didn't matter. Like, I was not in the house. I was out hanging out with the other kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It doesn't make me feel old because I don't feel old, but I think it makes me feel there's something wrong with America.
America.
You know what it is? You understand existentialism now. You need to read Camus.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're speaking all them big old college words, and I have no clue what you're saying.
Well, it's a story about a man who kills a bunch of people because he feels disconnected from society.
Similar to the God Bless America movie that we watched? Really?
Exactly like God
Bless America. Is that what existentialism is?
Wow. Is an existential shift is what that is. It's not existentialism.
Why don't you give Phil a definition of existentialism? Otherwise, he will probably never understand that.
Yeah, I probably won't.
Okay.
He still probably won't, but it's worth it for our listeners, although most of them probably understand it because they have a college-grade education. But
hey, I didn't drop out of four colleges to be as smart as I am today for no reason.
That is right.
Existentialism is a style of writing that typifies.
Well, it could also be a lifestyle. Take it out of the creative sense.
Sure, it is a style about expressing your disconnection from other people. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. So that means
you look like you disagree with me, Sam.
Well, I think that it could be painted in broader strokes.
Okay,
that's all. I think that, you know, existentialism, the meat and potatoes of it may be expressed in that of a disconnect from, you know, society and others. And I think that it's not always, you know, many times it's viewed as a negative aspect, but in all actuality, I think that if used in thought process, whether it be through art, writing, acting, whatever, I think that when used in proper amounts and with proper perspective, I think that it can be a significantly more powerful kind of game changer for individuals.
What does it mean in layman's terms? You don't like other people? Basically, what it boils down to at the bottom of it?
It's not that you don't like other people. It's that you don't feel any kinship with them.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't have no friends? You're like some 42-year-old dude living in your mom's basement playing World of Warcraft.
It's
not always
that. I mean, you could totally have acquaintances and shit like that, but it's
working
really,
Burger King for 6 years, still ain't made assistant manager.
It's that sense of connection that many, many people state that they feel with just humanity, not like in an open, broad sense, like, hey, do you feel connected, you know, with all of humanity? Some people say yes, some people say no, and if they say no, it doesn't particularly mean that they're in some sort of existentialism, you know, sort of mind fuck. But nevertheless, the bottom line is that, you know, you are here stating, you know, what the fuck am I here for? And within that same thought process and progression, you start to lose track of, well, this is society. This is what I should be a part of. This is what I should feel connected with. And in all actuality, I do not.
And you're sad that you don't.
Exactly.
Sounds like a fancy bullshit way of saying you don't like people.
It's a fancy bullshit way of saying you're a teenager and now you're 40 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And you of kind of how the fuck that, where is my beautiful house? Where is my beautiful car? It's how did that I get idea. Here? Exactly.
That's stupid,
and,
man.
You know, you may find yourself living in a shotgun shop. I mean, that is the
people
fucking
sit
gig.
Around and think about this shit.
Dude,
and write books
have you
and paint
not
pictures
fucking,
and shit about
well,
it?
The like, bottom line is, have you not fucking taken a hallucinogenic drug and felt that sense at one point during your fucking mind trip?
Yeah, but during the whole time, you realize that this is not who you are and you're on a trip. You have to have that separation. Like, if you get too
fuck
far
that.
In
that's,
that trip and
dude,
think this is who you are.
You can't let your mind fucking expand like that.
You
like,
still
you,
have to
you
have that
have to
disassociation
to,
and that control to know that you're
see,
on a trip and it's going to end.
Because you are not going to gain growth from something like that if in your head you say it's all fake. Which
I'm not
going to
be a fucking existentialist.
But no, yeah. Well, it doesn't particularly mean that that's the route that you're going to go and you're going to be labeled and blah, 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 blah. But by the same token, in the realm of what you and I just spoke about as an example of hallucinogenic drugs, when you remove yourself from your own fucking, you know, objective, which is amazing. I mean, to be able to gain perspective from another view in your lifetime is something that, like, you know, monks will deal with and, like, highly religious figures feel that they deal with. But if you go ahead and you fucking take a hard ass trip on some fucking shrooms or some acid and you wind up gaining a secondary perspective, I mean, that in and of itself is amazing to me. But what I'm stating is that, you know, if you do not, and this is just per your comment outside of existentialism and all that shit, if you do not allow yourself to fucking feed into it and bleed into it of knowing that, listen, I am fucking tripping balls right now and this is where I'm thinking and this is one long mind fuck. And if you completely allow yourself to separate it and say, you know what? It's just the drugs talking. You have no potential for actual fucking human growth. And that's what I have to say about that.
No, I mean, I've
taking psychedelic drugs more time
I don't believe it.
Than I can ever count.
I don't believe it.
The whole existentialism
you've
thing.
You've taken animal crackers.
And let's. I want to kind of like wrap it up and get away from this shit with this. It basically really reminds me of a Bill Hicks joke. And it's like, on the news, a young man took acid and thought he could fly, and he jumped off the top of the building and died. And Bill Hicks is like, well, he's a fucking moron. That's one less idiot on the planet. If you thought you could fly, why wouldn't you start from the ground?
Why don't you hear any positive stories about LSD? I took LSD and realized that we are all one consciousness, separated solely by our physical nature, and there is no such thing as death, only a return to that all thing, to use a Norse term.
It's matter.
It is, man.
It's matter.
Matter and energy are the same thing.
Yep.
And we only go through a cycle. There is no such thing as our fucking individual selves.
Particles floating around in a shell that's a
body. We are. And what says that we're not all together, man? Apparently, we're all stardust. Melissa and I were watching the fucking documentary the other day. It's not really bullshit. It's more just, I'm not going to say it's not bullshit, but what I am going to say is that it is
what we can agree astrophysicists. On is that the Moby song sucks.
Yes.
Every Moby song sucks. I'll agree with you on that. Every Moby song sucks.
So a decade ago, Moby expressed a comment in his music, "We are all made of stars." And then you know what? Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
Says the same thing, and he's a fucking genius.
He is a genius, bro. That's true. Like, he's a legit genius.
He is a genius.
And that doesn't mean Moby's a genius. He's just a terrible producer.
Don't get me wrong. Moby sucked. And he's bald and he's fucking weird. But he expressed the same thought a decade ago. It needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah, so that that doesn't mean Neil deGrasse Tyson hasn't been a genius for the past 10 years. Moby may have fucking read an article that he wrote. I don't give any credit for Moby for that statement at all whatsoever.
I give him credit for saying it publicly.
Colin states he was, ahead of his time, which I get that.
But
I think that anyone should get credit for, if they are ahead of their time in stating that. And if in hindsight everything, suddenly appears 2020 with your view and your statement, I think that there's something to be said about it. But Moby still blows. Yeah, so Porcelain was tight for, tripping on some fucking baller-ass shit and dealing with that. And during the time period, watching the movie The Beach.
His time came and gone.
It was there. Nevertheless, I choose not to put any more pull towards Moby at this point in regards to anything that he does. But moving forward from there, what I would like to say is this. You can find us on iTunes. You could find us at Podomatic, and you can absolutely find us at newlevelstudios.com/your mom.
WordPress.newlevelstudios.com.
Or let's go ahead and hear our actual studio head describe our fucking website and plug us for a change.
She's not gonna do it.
But it's wordpress.newlevelstudios.com
with an S.
wordpress.newlevelstudios.com with an S.
Go to iTunes.
Yes.
You can get all the new episodes for free. All you have to do is subscribe to us. It's all free.
All new today.
We will never charge you a penny to listen to our ramblings and
Maybe one penny.
We might have one of these days. We may have a benefit show, and you have to pay a penny to get in, and you get your money returned at the end if it wasn't.
It goes to your first beer.
It does. So and each ICP, one of your beers will be $4.99.
We are not
international.
ICP.
Colin and Phil Breweries will be supplying this benefit show.
No, we are not international.
It's apparently Interloper. Interloper. Which is what Colin set it on. So we're still Interloper, ICP. Colin and Philip. Beer distribution /brewery/Austin/#myanus/#.
There will never be any hashtags in our name.
So
either.
There will be 19 hashtags.
Also, I know a bunch of people listen to this know us on a personal level,
which is unfortunate.
And I know I say this on every podcast, but if you ever want to be a part of the madness or the hilarity that is the podcast,
you now have the option to comment and fucking throw up and say what's good, and that's per that word. Well, WordPress site, so WordPress.newlevelstudios.com.
You can go to WordPress, or you can just call us directly and come to New Level Studio and be a guest.
Don't call me. I don't know.
You can call me.
Don't
if
call
you know
Phil.
Me.
You know that, what happens.
That part's for your own good. The first part was for my good. Second part's for Phil. Don't call Phil.
Call
Colin.
Call Colin. Yeah. We'll put Colin's number out on the website.
I think Melissa is the studio head. You can call Melissa.
Yep, no. Call Colin.
Colin is going to be...
Call Colin.
He's going to be in charge of booking all our future guests.
Melissa, just give him a call. Melissa is the ultimate existentialist, so don't call Melissa. She's just going to fucking hang up on you. She won't even give you the fuck you button. She will actually pick up the phone and then hang up on you just on that basis alone. So don't call Melissa. I love her. She's my wife, and that's just what everyone has to deal with. But call Colin.
Oh, God. Heaven help you.
He'll definitely be able to get you in the right place. If your
vocabulary
is
not sufficient to come on the air, you will not get an invite.
There you go. Colin will give out the vocabulary test. And if you were above...
It's going to be in 6 different languages, I promise.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
Oh, I like
that. We need some more multicultural, multilingual guests on the show.
We need George. We're going to hit George back. We're going to try to have a Skype session with fucking Jorge Villa. Not going to work here anymore.
Mr. Villa Vicencio. I know he's probably listening to this, and he's freezing in the frozen tundra of Green Bay.
He might still be buried in snow.
Well, he's not buried because he has his Jamaican neighbor that shovels his sidewalks for him.
Jamaican the crazy man.
So yeah, George.
His Jamaican neighbor can't hook him up with medicine.
Oh no, I think he actually has. Last time I talked to him, he did. So George is good on the medicine side, but we got to get him on the podcast. But
that's true.
Much love to you, George. I know you're listening. We all miss you.
Rohan.
I'm licking the microphone right now. That's how much I miss you.
That's actually true. Colin is tongue boxing the microphone for you.
Much love to all our other fans that listen to us.
Colin's on a vacation far away.
You know us. We know you. We're glad you tune in. We wouldn't be here without you guys. Actually, we probably would, but y'all wouldn't be listening to it. It'd just be us listening to it.
It is true. Thanks for coming along
for the ride, friends.
So the very last thing I do to put in is sincerely to any and all of our listeners is that we do have to say is that New Levels or WordPress.NewLevelStudios. Mm-hmm. I really, really sincerely want to invite everybody to leave comments, to leave posts. I don't care if it's negative, positive, or whatever the case may be, but we want you to do that because we want our audience to be involved, as small or as large as it may be. It's important to us to hear that back. Pictures of whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. If you can post fucking pictures to it,
I'll send us pictures of manimals.
Whatever you want.
You can send us pictures of guys wearing horse masks on top of predator masks.
On top of fucking... Rorschach masks on top of... I mean, anyway, the whole fucking nine.
Any Russians to make our website much more popular.
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody who wants to come on there, really.
I am not part of New Level Studios. I shouldn't have said R.
It's getting pretty close. It's okay. Yeah, you're starting to become family here, Colin. Okay.
You really are. You've been around enough. You're kind of like the brother that nobody wants, but nobody wants you, Colin.
you were the Siamese twin that should have been aborted in order for the mom to live.
I have a little Siamese twin over here.
I believe it. It's fucking Guado. This is why fucking we have Colin on the air. But nevertheless, I'm dead fucking serious. Please leave us comments. Give us feedback. Negative, positive, whatever. We seriously do want to let our audience enjoy what it is that we do. And if they do, great. And if they don't, tell us that shit. We are down to hear it. But the bottom line is that ICP Beers, fucking a special thanks to e-cigarettes, by the way, just a really quick fucking pump here. So I thought it was all bullshit, and I thought it was trendy, and I thought it was very Austin-y to be like, yeah, smoke an e-cigarette from a pack and a half of fucking cigarettes. All right, so yeah, so a pack and a half of cigarettes a day, down to no cigarettes a day. All I could say is that if you're interested in saving money and you're interested in quitting, there's no fucking harm in trying to check it out. But go big or go home, because that fucking bullshit at the gas station will not help you.
Yeah.
And last but not least, we would definitely like to thank our studio head Melissa for helping us through this, for firing up the deluxe daddy and fucking doing what we need to do, and of course sticking with me through as long as it takes.
She's been in the background making this podcast run smoothly from day one, so I don't think we would have made it to where we are today without her.
Definitely not. So that's all I could say. Visit the website, check us out on fucking Tunes, subscribe, you'll get a new one fucking whenever we put them out. We are
happy
trying to
belated
get them
420 everybody.
Happy belated 420. Yay, motherfuckers. Well, that's all right. Colin is in no way officiated with New Level Studios, nor has any fucking rights to say anything about the commentary on here. It does not belong to New Level Studios, or is approved by New Level Studios as a separatist. Anyway, so on that basis, I hope that y'all have a fucking excellent evening, an excellent day, an excellent morning. And if you're at work, get the fuck back to work. It's about that time. We are out. New Level Studios for life. Thank you.
see me yaki that rum and the marijuana. Stepping on me, they can swim with the piranha. Anytime he drop me, go put on a marker. If it no money, say where them bad attack for. Them a try fi hold up a bank with a banana. Yeah, we pretty whole thing panorama. Woody pa gun time to the baby wanna drama. To the baby wanna we are killing bubble back again. Got the things unlocked again. Dabba took 10 shots and again. The pan of old pants on again. Man a dash dabba like them again. Cover that eye pin again. Man a ready for the war. If it comes on top, come and I feel frightened again. We are killing bubble back again. Got the things unlocked again. Dabba took 10 shots and again. The pan of old pants on again. Man a dash dabba like them again. Cover that eye pin again. Man a ready for the war. If it comes on top, come and I feel frightened again. We are killing bubble back again. Got the things unlocked again. Dabba took 10 shots and again. The pan of old pants on again. Man a dash dabba like them again. Cover that eye pin again. Man a ready for the war. If it comes on top, come and I feel frightened again. We are killing bubble back again. Got the things unlocked again. Double take 10 shots and again. The one that old pants on them again. Man, I dash them, I light them again. Cover that eye pin again. Man, I'm ready for the war. If it comes on top, come and I feel frightened again.
I take it back. Like my man.
This is one DJ you don't want to fuck with.
The bird, man.
This is some good bird.
Ain't number two to fruity. Get on the floor if you got that booty.
This will make a mess.